Welcome to the Solve the Overeating Puzzle podcast. My name is Eugenia Nikiforo and I am the founder of the Solve the Overeating podcast and also the founder of Unlocks You, the eating psychology clinic, where we give you a mind plan instead of a diet plan so you can be in control of your eating, weight, and really your life. This is a podcast where I give you practical tools and suggestions that you can apply immediately from wherever you are, at home or on the go, so you can overcome overeating urges, binge eating urges, and be in full control of your food cravings as well. Now, coming to this podcast episode, this is the final episode for our series with Scott, where we have been on the journey for over 8 or 9 months when Scott came to me and said, Eugenia, I really feel out of control when it comes to eating. I have gained 20 kgs. I have had depression and it all started during COVID where I kind of lost a little bit the purpose of my life and what I was doing was no longer possible to do. Can you please help me? And I did say, yes, I would love to do that. And I have been really really grateful for Scott that he agreed to record these sessions so you can also listen to how he approaches things, a lot of explanations that I tried to give so you understand those underlying reasons for our relationship with food and also those often hidden elements that drive our eating decisions as well. So in this episode, we are reviewing the entire progress that Scott has had. And yeah, just tune in, listen in. It's really, really powerful. It's really interesting. I'm incredibly proud of him, how far he has come, and really hope that you will enjoy listening to this progress, listening to his journey and his stories as much as I loved working with Scott. So I won't talk any longer and yeah, give you access to this episode. Welcome, Scott.
Kia ora.
Welcome back after we've just spoken before I started a recording, and we said our first conversation was about a year ago. So we think around October, so not quite a year ago. But the last time when we connected, it's definitely been a few months. So I wanted to reconnect with you and see where things are at and really talk about your journey, because I think it's been an amazing one. I think it's been really an inspiring one. And I want also the listeners to know about it and get inspired as well. So maybe if you remember back then in October, what was the reason why you reached out back then?
Yeah, hey, thanks for that. So the reason that I reached out, I was in a, you know, quite a dark place, or coming out of a darker place, you know, so still coming out of it. And my relationship with food, you know, wasn't ideal, or like, it wasn't, not, it was really not good. Like, I was eating for pleasure, for comfort, for boredom. And, you know, that despite how it wasn't making me feel good. You know, I'm like, this is one aspect that I really need to change. So, yeah, I reached out to you wanting, you know, a bit of support. Accountability was a big thing of it, or having someone there to talk to about it that I could be open and vulnerable with in that space, rather than just, you know, the echo chamber of my mind or my notebook, whatever, you know. So like life's a team sport, so it was, you know, finding some people that know more, you know, that can support me in different areas, and kind of slowly starting to put a bit of a team together to support me on my you know, journey back to wellness, or wellness journey back to more optimal health, which I feel I'd really strayed from. You know, COVID happened, the world stopped on the large scale, and so did mine on like an individual level, and I literally fell apart, you know. And one of the things was just got really depressed, got really suicidal. The only thing I found comfort in was eating, you know, like sleeping 20 hours a day, get up, eat, go back to sleep. You know, that was the only kind of pleasure that I found. And like, you know, like couldn't even jack off kind of pleasure, you know, like the food was my pleasure. And yeah, and that, you know, really kind of sent me even lower. And in that process, I gained like 20 kgs, and, you know, and then I just started, you know, when I was reaching out to you, starting to come out, I feel the other side of it more, or at least the worst of the darkness. I'm like, okay. Yeah. So that was one, what kind of put me onto you there. Oh,
yeah.
The start of it.
Yes. I remember our conversation.
Wasn't just realizing that, hey, look, I'm not in a good place where I am. I can think I can get some support and some people around me in the right places to, you know, help me make adjustments to get to where I want to go. And you know, like looking back on that now, I think, you know, the biggest takeaway that I've got with my own health and wellness journey is never underestimate the power of baby steps, you know, and small, consistent change, you know, getting clear on this is the end result, and this is where I am now, and what are the small things that I can do each day. And it's not like, not in 2 weeks or 2 months, but right here, right now, like, what do I need to do? Like, what is future Scott going to be thankful for, you know? And at the time, you know, you don't see rapid changes, or you might feel like you're not moving anywhere, but you get a month down the track, or 3 or 6 months down the track, and you're like, fuck, I'm going to come completely different place, you know. So for example, out of the 20 odd kgs that I've put on, I've lost about 16, you know. And I like, I feel good, but like I've still got some, like a little bit of extra weight I could, you know, so there's still a tiny bit there. So it's like, not, it's not perfect, and it's not about getting to this perfect place, but in the you know, as that cliche quote goes, it's not about the destination, it's about the journey, right? And in that journey for me has been finding out lots more about myself and how I relate, you know, my thoughts and my feelings, and how that translates to how I interact with the world, and, you know, food and other people and exercise and outlook. So it's kind of been this like all-encompassing, almost like it's almost felt like Lord of the Rings, and like it's just been like a fuckload of walking, and there's been like some dragons and some ogres and that kind of shit. But you know, like at the end of the day, your feet are kind of hairy and you have a good time.
So do you remember after we've had this conversation, the first conversation, and you shared with me where things were, and then we also established where you want to be, like you just said. One of the first questions that I asked you back then, what do you want, right? Where do you want to be? What are your goals? And I remember you shared with me, well, one is obviously I want to have a better relationship with food. I want to lose that weight. But I also want to have a better life. I want to be doing something that is very meaningful to me, which is your work as well. I want to connect with people. So do you remember what, like you said, what you learned is the power about of the first or little steps along the way. Do you remember the little steps that you took at the beginning?
Not really, not in detail. So that would have been my biggest takeaway. But I think the biggest value that I got in working and talking with you was a better awareness of these different aspects of my life, you know, and just having another perspective to look at these different aspects of my life and having greater awareness of these things. Because like without awareness of something, you can't do anything with it, you know. And like, you know, for me, like food was the main, like what I thought the main problem was, or that I was having the main problem with. But that's, you know, was really just, for me, that was the fire, you know. But there's still lots of other things that needed my awareness, and you know, that was, yeah, like you say, for me, just getting back to doing the work that I loved, you know. Like with COVID, I'd stopped, you know, doing all my breathwork teaching that I've been doing for years, and that kind of dried up, and I wasn't doing that, and you know, I wasn't connecting with my friends and family, you know. I was kind of just isolating myself, and just all of these like different aspects of I think what it makes up to have like a holistic kind of well-balanced lifestyle. So yeah, the main thing that I took from working with you was in developing a greater awareness of just myself and my environment, and then with that awareness actually doing something about it. You know, like it's like, oh, I can see it, I can understand it. It's like, yeah, but what are you going to do? Like, are you actually going to take some steps? It's like, you know, you can't just be all fucking love and light. You have to actually do something. So the action, and I think the fact that there was some level of accountability there helped kickstart some action, and that in many ways, you know, was helping to pull me out of the hole that I was pulling myself out with, and you know, further add and kickstart to the trajectory that I took from then to now, to now where I am now, you know, about a year later, which I feel is light years from where I was. But it took baby steps to get there, you know.
Do you have some examples, specific examples for those actions that you've been taking over the year?
Yeah, sure. So I think for after our first meeting, you like some of your, it's the first homework that I got was reach out and talk to your friends. So just have some heart-to-heart conversations with some people that you love and care for, you know. So I did that, just called up and had a chat with some friends, and just talked about our life, and that was, you know, it was really good to connect with that. So that was one of the things that got the ball rolling. And then it's been little things like just playing with diets, you know, like understanding more about nutrition and foods, and you know, reading books and articles and playing around, and you know, so I've played with different things to, you know, to get to me where I am at the moment, which is I'm doing an extreme version of all of that. But I think at the end of the day, the best measure for anything that you do is how it makes you feel. What is your experience like? And I feel really good. So things are working.
So where are you right now? Because obviously on our journey, you were experimenting,
yeah,
with so many, yeah, things, right? There was keto, there was fasting for like 5 days, there was, yeah, intermittent fasting, there was
daily saunas and ice baths, and yeah. So where am I right now with my food journey? Like on the surface, it sounds fucking crazy. But once you actually dig down and understand it, it makes a lot of sense. So for the last over a month now, I've just been eating meat, eggs, and salt. That's it. No spices, no oils, no flavorings, no carbs, no sugars, just meat, eggs, and salt. And it's been one of the best things I've ever done. It's been the most interesting scientific experiment I've ever done for myself. And you know, here's why. The reason that I got on it is because I'd been having issues with my skin, like big pimples and boils, you know, for the last year or few years. And turns out it was a staph infection. You know, Staphylococcus, I don't know how to pronounce it, but just a bacterial, you know, or a viral infection, and they're really hard to get rid of, right? And you know, the last thing I wanted to do, knowing a few things about how the gut biome works, was to nuke it with antibiotics, right? One of the worst things. So a friend who runs a wellness center, he's like to our group of friends, hey, does anyone want to jump on the carnivore diet for a month? You know, with us, we do it once a month to kind of clean our system, and then we'll do a fast at the end. And I was curious because I've heard nothing but good things about people that do this. Like they've had some skin issue that's been giving them hell their lifetime. So they've had some underlying health issue. They've tried everything, nothing worked. They just ate meat and it worked. So that's what got me curious. You know, I went from, hey, man, this sounds fuck crazy, to, okay, there's something here. I'm going to dig a little bit deeper. You know, read a book called The Carnivore Code from a doctor who used to be that vegan doctor, and now he's just a meat doctor. And so I did it to clear up the skin issue. In conjunction of working with my naturopath, who, you know, we made a real kind of natural tonic for it, like a natural herbal tonic, which, you know, tastes like one of the worst things that you can imagine. Oscillating that 1 week on with 1 week of very specific probiotics to repopulate the gut, you know, the gut biome and the gut flora, because, you know, she's also worked in a gut clinic. So one of the big things about my health journey has been educating myself and learning into things and testing things and being my own scientific experiment. And so and the more that I've learned, the more I've learned, it's all really about the gut. Like, you know, you can have all the tools that you can think about things, but at the end of the day, your gut is where, you know, produces all the serotonins, all the enzymes, or the bacteria. It controls the brain. You know, the gut will kind of override the prefrontal cortex, and before you know it, you know, you're fucking scoffing like whatever. So if the gut's not right, the mind's never going to follow. So fixing the gut was an essential thing to me. So when my friends are like, hey, Scott, you want to eat meat, eggs, and salt for a month? I'm like, curious, leaned into it and said, yeah, I'm going to give this a go. Because I was about to take antibiotics. I was just getting so fed up with the skin issue. It was just doing my head in, like, confidence, all sorts of things, because I feel like I walk out and have these big fucking pussy horns everywhere. And so the idea of the meat, eggs, and salt of the carnivore is it's an elimination diet. So you're cutting out sugars, you're cutting out carbs, you're cutting out all this crap and staph. And I also had candida, you know, like a yeast bacterial infection, you know, which a lot of people have these underlying things. They're always there, but they sometimes get out of balance, or they're not aware of them. Like my chiropractor, who I've been seeing when I'm up here in Northland, because I spend half the time in Northland, half the time in Hamilton, she had candida for 20 years and she didn't know, you know, and things like staph and candida really feed off sugar.
Yeah, that's, you know, right.
Like they feed off sugar. So meat, eggs, and salt elimination diet, eliminate everything that you're putting into the system and keep it really simple. Now, you're still getting most of your vitamins and minerals that you need because you're eating nose to tail, which means you're eating all the organs and all that kind of stuff, which I've never done. Like, I haven't really even eaten meat for 10 years and I've never eaten organs. So I took organ supplements, you know, so I'm still getting all these vitamins and minerals and all of that. And, you know, at first I was hesitant because I was like, oh, I love animals, I don't want to eat them. And I still really love animals, but it's turned out I fucking love eating them too. And like my body loves it and it feels so good. So anyway, within a week of doing this, my whole face had settled down. Like all these big bop, bop, bop had settled right down. Yeah, it took me 2 days because with the carnivore diet, it's a, you know, you're also in a constant state of ketosis. You know, so day two or three was the only ill effects really physically, where the body was switching over to ketones. So I kind of had a keto flu. But it's really interesting observing myself, like maybe a weekend we had a shared dinner and there was lots of different food around and I'm sitting there with my plate of meat and I was sitting across the table, but I want your salad and you've got cake and whatever the hell you've got, I'm going to bite you for it. Like, you know, like my body and my mind was wanting all these different things, you know, because there's like a fat child inside of me that's screaming out for attention, right? And fast forward that to 2 weeks later, and we had a bit of a house concert, and there was like 40 people, and it was a potluck meal, so everyone brought some food, and there was every kind of food you could imagine, you know. And you know, that would always please the fat child inside of me. And when I say the fat child inside of me, I mean when I was really young, I was overweight too, and I also found comfort in eating, you know. And then I let go of that pattern when I was about 14 and moved out of home, and then that pattern kind of happened again with COVID. So I when I say that fat child inside of me, I'm talking about like me when I was younger. Mm-hmm. It was just kind of like Cartman from South Park. So just think of Cart, you know, that was me when I was younger. So anyway, fast forward 2 weeks, and we're at this potluck dinner, and my body nor my brain wanted anything. It didn't want a single thing. It's like, this stuff isn't food. I've just got my chopping board of meat in the corner. It was just salty, bloody meat, and I'm real happy with it. I shared a little bit. You know, there wasn't enough to share with everybody. And which was fascinating because, you know, my body had just eliminated all these different fuel sources. It's like when you actually start to look in your food, like if your food has got a label on it, if it's got a label with some preservative numbers, that's fucking rubbish for the most part. You know, it's like just when you actually understand, well, what is food, or like where is your food coming from, and the amount of different ingredients and chemicals and toxins that you're putting in your body at any one time. You know, like our body's not designed to take 20 things at once and put them in your body. It's not designed for that. It's not. It can process it, but it's not designed for it. It's designed for simple, eat some of this, cool, now eat some of this, cool, now eat some of this. Not all the flavors of the world, you know, in a day. Like our body's not designed for that. So when you simplify that, you know, my body was, and my senses, like I just, it had attuned to just wanting this one thing, and not all sorts of meat, mostly red meat, you know, like I had a little bit of pork, bit of lamb, bit of chicken every now and then, not really, but my body's like, beef. Like it's, that's what it wants, you know, and it's really fascinating because, you know, especially just while doing this diet over a month, I've lost about 7 kgs, you know, and that's without trying to, because I've still been eating a lot. The amount that you have to eat, you know, you reach, you're satiated before you reach your calorie intake.
Yeah, you know, that's exactly what I try to, because I don't promote a certain diet, right, or that specific diet, but what I'm always trying to explain to people, one is cravings are not normal. So when we have a clean body, that means healthy gut, healthy brain, which obviously we know, and yeah, like you said, it's really directly correlated. We don't crave food. We don't crave constantly sugar or carbs. So quite often, if we're constantly craving sugar or simple carbohydrates, it can be a strong indicator that your gut is not healthy, or there is candida, or there is yeast, or there is something going on, and that bacteria is trying to feed from that. So and then also what you're describing, what I always say, as soon as, like, let's say protein, and it was a protein and fat, so let's say when you have meat, that's what you get there as well. As soon as it lands in your mouth, it actually sends a signal to the brain that you're eating. So you start being satiated much, much faster. So what we know, however, about simple carbohydrates, they only send a signal to the brain that you're satiated only when it stretches your stomach out to a certain size, right? So when we eat wholesome food, it's almost impossible to overeat calorie-wise. Yeah,
that makes absolute sense. There's a term that I like that's going around called an acronym, JERF, J-E-R-F, Just Eat Real Food.
Yeah.
You know, okay. And so that's such a big part of it, you know. But I found it so fascinating because, you know, I did a month and then I did a 3-day fast to just simplify things even more. And since then, I've introduced a few little spices and herbs, and like I've tried, like, what did I try last night? I had some like cabbage and some parsley and like a bit of chili. And usually these things that I wouldn't be able to notice, but they're just explosions of flavor. Like, you know, it's so interesting. And like, I know whether a specific way of eating or diet is sustainable long-term or even a good idea, putting that aside, the feeling of being in a state of ketosis all the time, it's amazing. It's way better than running on glucose. like you just feel cleaner, you feel meaner, you feel sharper, you feel better energy. And, you know, because I've got some fat on me to burn, like if my body needs food, it's just eating itself, you know, and you can feel it. You can feel your body eating itself. It's like this, it's like being hungry, like you are hungry, but you don't need food. You know, you're not like, oh, I can't think, I'm just thinking about food. You're like, it's just this kind of tightness where you're like, oh, I'm eating myself because I'm hungry, you know? So it's like, I've got all these fat reserves on me. And it's like, my body doesn't care whether I stick food in my mouth or whether it just eats me. And in fact, it probably just prefers to eat me because it doesn't have to digest the food. It can just directly metabolize the fat, you know? So being in ketosis feels really good. And especially while I've got weight to lose, because the need to eat is mainly a psychological one. It's mainly like, oh, I should put some food in my mouth because of, you know, I should eat once a day. You know, it's like, I don't actually need to, you know? So that's not why I delve down this, but that's been a really interesting byproduct of it. And like I said, I think like whatever you do, whatever you're into, at the end of the day, it's about how it makes you feel and your experience and being your own scientist and finding out what works and what doesn't. And like right now with where I am, I feel good, you know, and that's not always going to be like that and things are going to change, but right now for where I'm at, it's working, it's good. You know, the diet's good, and like I said, baby steps, bit by bit, I've just been like, okay, well, what would future Scott want here? You know, not what does Scott right now, right here, right now want, like, but what would future Scott be proud of? And trying to make these little, just micro decisions in my life in different aspects, being like, okay, you know, how can I just make life easier for future me, you know? In a, you know, step forward, step back, step to the side, you know, back and forth kind of way.
Yeah, so lots of experimenting. But what I really love about where you are is you have that control and you are able to experiment without that it kind of sends you back, you know, into a sort of unhealthy eating patterns where you were maybe about a year ago. So and also like just really experimenting and learning about yourself, because at the end what I always say, we need to find what works for us, for ourselves, right? We are our own best experts. So some people might say, oh, go and try this, but it might not work for you. So what I really love about you, and since the beginning, really, you have been experimenting, you have been learning about yourself. I mean, you've been learning about the different ways of doing things. And yeah, it seems like it really works for you where you are right now. Another part that was really important to me after we had that first conversation, obviously one is supporting you with your a relationship with food and get you to where you want to be with food. The other part was also where I felt like your challenges when it comes to food are actually not really about food. It is as well, because like what we've heard right now from your story, the food that we eat definitely impacts further cravings. It definitely creates further cravings. It definitely changes our gut bacteria, changes our our serotonin. So it does definitely affect us. But there is also the psychological component to food. And that's why the other part that was really important for me is that you get back into doing what you love, and that is your work. So tell us more about that.
Yeah, you know, that that was huge. And I didn't like stop doing my work, but I stopped it like it was like 80% stopped, you know, at least. And for something that I feel is my passion and my purpose, and it's, you know, my way that I interact with other people and add value to their lives, and you know, big picture why I'm doing it, you know, just to try and make the world a better place, improve, you know, people's lives, reduce suffering, all that kind of thing. And to not be doing that, I just really felt that I was lacking purpose. I, you know, self-doubts, like, oh, I'm not good enough, and even just being in that place of darkness, like when you're, you know, when you're in that really dark space, you know, it's hard to go, you know, it's hard to go out and be helpful, you know, and you probably shouldn't be, right? You need healing, you need to sort your shit out before you go and stop trying to help other people sort their shit out. Yeah, so for me, my work is teaching breath work, you know, is teaching people how to breathe. For me, it's the most powerful tool that we all have under the nose, right? You can do so many things with it. If the pharmaceutical company could put the benefits of the breath into a pill, it would be the number one selling pill, and they'd be mandating it overnight. It's like the magical shit. You know, and for me, like, my experience of the breath is like I've suffered from depression and anxiety and like mental health challenges and, you know, the stress and overload and burnout of everyday life and just, you know, my own relationship with my thoughts and other people and all these things. And in my own life, like, the breath is the most powerful tool that has helped me navigate life, you know, to help me create awareness of myself and what's going on, like what are these sensations beneath the skin that we call feelings, and like how do I relate to these things, and how do they, you know, so I'm really passionate about using my experiences with the breath to help other people. And, you know, prior to, you know, COVID and all that, I've been teaching the breath for at least, you know, 5-6 years, and got a bunch of qualifications and lots of real world experience, and, you know, worked with some of the biggest companies in the country, and you know, things were going good, and then COVID happened and everything just stopped, you know. And you know, and I just stopped, like, because I couldn't go and see people. You know, I was meant to go to I had a few different countries lined up that I was going to be doing work and retreats in and all these different things, and then it just stopped. And then I just stopped. I had nothing to do. And so I just slept and ate for ages. But getting back to being clear about what I love about this work and how I feel, it's, you know, like, it's my purpose in that. And I don't mean purpose as in like God gave me the reason. It's like, nah, for me, this is, it just makes sense for me to do this. Like, I like, this is what I like to do. And getting back to that was such a huge part of my wellness, you know. But then also everything that happened is now part of that wellness journey as well. It was like, you know, I'm using these more of these deep, dark experiences that I've had in my work to make it more relatable and to be able to engage with people and also help them navigate similar spaces. You know, but it was also really interesting because it changed how I worked as well. So now I never would have thought that I could have been working online doing the work that I do, because it's such a present thing. You have to, you know, I thought you had to be there, like, with them, and you still can be. You can do that, you know, now I figured out, well, you can do that online. So the way that I'm working is like off and online, and it's just opened up all these different ways of doing things, and that's been really fascinating. And that especially helped me get the ball rolling, because when I was coming out of this, we were still in lockdown. You know, like I couldn't come and give you a hug because, you know, the government is gonna tell me off. You know, so we were still in this really weird, fucked up place that we should never have been in. So that forced me to be creative in how I worked online. And then what's come out of that is you know, stuff that's great. You know, like I've got regular clients that I see. Like I've got one lady in California. She's got a lung disease. We work together twice a week to help improve her respiratory health, to keep her nervous system regulated so she's not stressed, to work on gas exchange, you know, efficiencies, you know. And well, since me and her have been working, her lung condition stabilized. It hasn't got any worse, which it's expected to. But what I've loved about that also is that being involved in other people's health journeys and seeing them change, you know. So it's like I've been used my own health crisis, and it helps other people with their health crises in different ways. So for me, getting back to my passion, which I feel is my purpose, was a huge part of it, because I enjoy what I do, and it's like it gives me a reason to do things. And you know, along with it comes a sense of community, and yeah, so for me that's been huge.
I really, really love that. And that was my sense back then. You know, you need to get back into the work that you do, because I do find when we help other people, we also help ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And like I know for me doing this work, my eating disorder back then, while it took me really many, many years, over 12 years to overcome all of this, to me, that was the biggest blessing, because it gave me a purpose. It gave me something that now I call work, but it never feels like work because I just love doing that, right? So it, and for you, I know one of my coaches, when I was working with her, Tony Robbins coach, actually, she asked me, what if this is the biggest blessing? Whatever happens in life, what if it's the biggest blessing? And I still ask that question every time when I feel like something is not going by plan. So let's say with COVID, yes, that was not ideal. And, you know, that's a completely different conversation. But what if it's exactly what should have happened for, let's say, us where we are right now? And I know in my business, it I always wanted to be online. It helped me to go online because there was no resistance, because we had to, right? Yeah. So for you, what if, let's say, where you were was also the biggest blessing, and maybe COVID to a certain degree as well?
Oh yeah, both of them, 100%. Like, you know, not at the time, because you're throwing your toys out of the cot and having a cry about it, but in hindsight, you're like, yeah, that was that. What I thought was darkness was actually a silver lining. You know, and that makes me think of that quote that, you know, life isn't happening to me, it's happening for me.
Exactly. So, and now you can emphasize to the degree that maybe, I don't know, but maybe you wouldn't have been in a way that you can do now because of where you were, right? And also having opened yourself up for other opportunities, which is working online, and therefore being able to reach more people all over the world, because we are not really limited then to, I guess, our space where we are, right? So like, let's say our country or our city or our town. So there is no physical limitation.
Absolutely. That's it.
Awesome. I love this. It sounds really, I feel like this is a good call to round things up, where usually as a coach, I always feel when I get to a certain point with someone, when I was working with someone, I feel this is good. This is a beautiful point to go apart to let someone go, because it just feels good, it feels right, it feels like they are where they wanted to be. And obviously that's not an end destination, that's not going to end for you there, but I just wanted to hear, I guess, where things are for you. So
cool, sounds like a separation party.
Awesome. exactly. And maybe at some point we'll do it in person as well. For now it's online. Thank you, Scott, for sharing vulnerably through all these calls, through sharing your journey, allowing me to guide you through your journey. I said that before, I said to you just before the call, I find this is very inspiring. Your journey is so inspiring, your work. And I know you were not just talking, like you were doing that work, like I said, the cold baths and the sauna every day and twice a day and all sorts of things that you were doing. Like you put really work into it and it's paying off.
Yeah.
Take that in.
Yeah, I'll take that. Yeah, and thank you.
You're very welcome. All right. Anything else you want to add before we finish this call?
Stay cool.
I will. Oh my God, isn't this amazing? It's an incredible story, incredible journey that Scott has gone through. And I've had the privilege to be able to watch it, to observe it, to guide him, and to be part of his journey as well. I really hope you enjoyed listening. Maybe you feel inspired and motivated to also go on your personal journey, whatever that is for you, whatever you want to achieve. Maybe you want to be more in control of food. Maybe you want to lose a little bit of weight. Maybe you just want to actually improve your lifestyle, your health and wellness. Maybe you actually just want to look at your life in general as well. So whatever that is for you, please know you can get from where you are right now to where you want to be. And if you need support, if you would like to have some support, some help, some guidance, I'm here for you. Reach out, find me on my website unlocksyou.nz, or just send me a message, eugenia@unlocksyou.nz. I would love to hear from you, and I hope to have you back here in the next episode. Have a beautiful day, no matter where you are.